to protect you and your whole squad. Chat to the TAC team next game day to find out how you can enter. Check out your car's safety rating at howsafeisyourcar.com.au.
Been a big year? Get a big deal at Nissan. Right now, when you finance an X-Trail or cash car with Nissan, you get up to 3 years free service. That's big. Get into Nissan for a big deal. T's and C's apply. Approved private and ABN applicants only.
On SEN, the captain's run with Kane Corns.
22 minutes past 11 o'clock, very busy morning, and it's good morning to you if you're just tuning in to us. Moments ago, Dean Cox taking a lot of your calls on Richmond's game at Marvel this weekend, and we'll hear from Gillon McLachlan on that very, very shortly. But right now, it's time to get to an absolute guru with a quarter of the competition sitting on the sidelines with injury. Who better to talk about just that than our next guest, Dr. Peter Larkins. Doc, thanks for joining us, mate.
Hey, good morning, Kane.
It's a big number, 177 players named on the official AFL injury list this week. How concerned are you?
Oh, well, it's way above normal numbers, Kane. I mean, historically, we sort of know from all the data that on any given week, normally 16% of the workforce, I call them, the playing list, is unavailable. So that represents 6 to 8 players on average across the 42 to 44 players on a list. So once you hit 20-plus, you know that we've got a much higher, you know, and these are obviously your best available 42 players. So getting up to 23-24% is extraordinarily high. Hopefully it's a blip, but it's certainly much larger than we've seen in other seasons at this stage of the year.
We heard from Paul Marsh, who the CEO of the Players Association, say concussion isn't necessarily more than what we've seen in previous years. It's just that players have been forced to sit out. The right move from the AFL, the way they're starting to manage this issue?
Oh, no question about that. I mean, I think there's two things I'd say to Paul's comment. One is there's far more concussions being documented because, dare I say, when you were playing, Kane, concussion wasn't highlighted a lot. Mm. And there were many players who had a head knock or a ding or dizzy or a bit weak and they weren't called concussions. So if you look at the absolute raw data, you say, oh, there's a lot more concussions. No, they've always been there. It's just we respect it a lot more. They obviously miss more games because of the new requirements, Kane. So in terms of time missed from concussion, it looks like it's much greater, but props it should have been that in the past. But I think if we look at the soft tissues and we look at the dislocated shoulders and the ACLs and the syndesmosis ankles, we're talking about, you know, longer term injuries also being out for some star players, Kane. So I think, you know, in terms of the way the game intensity's gone and the tackling and, you know, the openness of the game's great to watch, but I think it's having an impact, as has the reductions in medical and physio staff, which I think should be highlighted a bit while we chat too, Kane.
Yeah, no doubt. So let's talk about that. I was really concerned about that at the end of last season. I think 11 club doctors, I'll be right in saying, have
12.
Moved on. 12, is it?
Year 12 senior medical and physio staff moved on. So we all hear about, you know, budget cuts at the clubs and, you know, the AFL House has reduced their staff and there's less assistant coaches. And what perhaps the listeners don't realise, Kane, is there's been a real cutback at clubs on their budget spend on the medical and physio care during the week, Monday to Friday, between games. And 12 really highly respected and experienced people left after the hub, and 2020 was a very demanding year on people with good, you know, with families. And some, I know doctors who went away for 4 weeks and spent 14 weeks away from their family because of the hub stuff, Kane. And then there was anything from a 25 to 40% reduction, not only in numbers at the clubs, but in salaries being paid. And these, it's a very, almost a full-time demanding job. So I think Paddy Dangerfield was right when he said that the players during the week aren't getting access to as much recovery or massage or physio, and I think that has an accumulation effect as well. It's a really important component that needs to be highlighted.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. What about syndesmosis? So when you mentioned when I was playing, is this the old school rolled ankle or what is it?
I guess it was called a high ankle. It was a high ankle, and I had to explain at times what a high ankle was. So a standard rolled ankle, when your foot rolls to the outside and the outside of your ankle is closer to the ground, the so-called lateral ligaments or lateral sprain, it represents 80-85% of the standard sprains, whether it's netball, basketball or footy. But when you roll the opposite way, so your foot rolls closer to the ground on the inside, it's the medial ligaments, which are much tougher and stronger. And when they get torn, they also tear a ligament deeper inside the ankle, which runs up in the centre of the ankle, goes higher up. And that's called the syndesmosis in its true medical term. But it always happened in footy. It was always a much more severe injury. But two things have changed, Kane. One, there's now a surgical process to repair that that wasn't talked about much in the past because we didn't have the equipment or the right sort of what we call suture anchors or tight ropes, as they're called, to repair them. Secondly, the tackling techniques with clubs now, with the, you know, with the improvements in protecting the head and no spear tackles and no sling tackles, players are being dragged to ground by the opponent. So if I'm tackling you, my job's to bring you to ground. So often it's my body weight on top of your body weight, and if your legs get caught under mine, your foot gets twisted very awkwardly into this syndesmosis position. So I think there's two components to why we're hearing about it more, and part of that is going to have to be looked at in terms of whether that tackling technique's got to be looked at from a safety point of view as well for the ankle as much as it is for the head, Kane.
A couple of individuals I'd like to ask you about. Are you concerned when you read reports that Patrick Cripps is playing with stress fracture in his back that requires pain-killing injections? Now, I don't know if that is true and the club has sort of half played it down.
Yeah.
What would he be getting injected if he is getting injected, and what's the long-term repercussions?
Yeah, look, I won't be specific on Patrick, but you know, local anaesthetic in footy has been around ever since Lee Matthews boasted that there was none left in Queensland after the Tigers, the Lions won all those flags in the early day. And so, you know, local anaesthetic in a selected use for someone who's got an injury that's quite minor and just needs a bit of pain relief is quite acceptable. But I really get concerned when I hear about significant injuries being injected for players to go back on the ground. I think it sets a bad example for junior sport. But it also, you know, sometimes you don't even have the correct diagnosis. So when we're talking back pain, particularly if there's a stress fracture or when you get kneed in the back, you can get a fracture of the vertebrae called the transverse process where all the muscles attach. So it's not inside the spine, but it's very painful. And let me say it has been treated with injections in the past by a number of different clubs. And I do grimace a bit when I hear about it, Kane, because I think it's very difficult, you know, for a player to play properly, to bend over, to kick and run when you've got a fracture in the back. And just blocking the pain is not healing the problem, Kane. And so we've got a litigation issue generally across the whole range of things in footy at the moment. So, you know, in the case you're talking about, I'm quite bemused by the coach saying that he didn't know the medical condition that was being treated by the doctors. There's either a disconnect in communication at that club or they're not being honest about it, because he really does look like he's struggling, Cripps. And whether he's having the injections or not having the injections, and for the coach to say he doesn't know, that's, to me, that's quite strange. And you know, is it the right treatment? Look, only the medical people will have to clarify that. And let me make the point about informed consent, Kane. You know, if you're going to get injected to play with a broken hand or a dislocated collarbone, then you have to sign a form to say you're willing to go back on and do that. Otherwise, clubs are going to get sued for bad treatment. We've seen that in the past. I mean, Carlton, of all clubs, Kane, needs to look up the Adrian Whitehead case. I don't know if you recall that or the listeners do, but Adrian Whitehead is a famous Carlton case. So I would suggest Carlton remind themselves about that. And every club should remind themselves about that when they're talking about having a player play with repeat local anaesthetic injections for a condition that hasn't been healed yet.
Yeah, I think Tyre Zantuck as well from Richmond is also...
Well, Tyre's another extraordinary case just in the paper a couple of weeks ago. And that's, you know, and this opens up a Pandora's box of anyone who played in the 1990s and early 2000s said, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I mean, this is something the AFL doesn't want. I'm not saying it was great medicine, Kane, but I'm saying it's not just one club that does this. And you know, I personally think it's got to be reined in a bit. I think modern medicine is different. Modern litigation is different, and if it means a player misses a couple of extra weeks, that's player welfare at its best, and it should be put into place.
Yeah, I think we could all agree on that. Hey, Doc, good chat to you for hours. I know you're busy, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks,
this morning.
Kane. Talk to you down
Dr.
the track. Thanks.
Peter Larkins, you can have your say on any of that. Hey, on the other side of the 11:30 news headlines, good news for...